Earlier in the program, we heard from a member of a community group in Cox Heath. The Keep Cox Heath Clean Association came together quickly. They opposed any mining development in their backyard, and they are concerned that CBRM was planning to sell about 1,000 acres of land to Nova Copper Inc., which is an exploration company that has already taken some leases in the area. Harry Cabrita is the CEO of Nova Copper Inc., and he joined us earlier today. Good afternoon, sir. Welcome to Main Street.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Can you start by telling us a bit about your company and your past work in the Cox Heath area?
Yeah, well, Nova Copper Inc., it's a Nova Scotia company. It was formed for the purpose of the Cox Heath copper deposit, which is located on the Beachmont Road. So it's actually quite a distance from Cox Heath. It's about 6 kilometers from, let's say, the Wilderness Trail, and 4 kilometers plus to the Cox Heath Road on the other side of the hills, outside of the watershed, and out of line of sight of the city. So we feel we're in a very good position where it's located. And so we've been. It was formed in 2018. Myself, though, to answer your question, because I always get asked this, because you know I'm on a lot of documents pertaining to the exploration of the area, is from 2006 to 2013. I led about 70% of the drilling and development that was done on the property throughout that time period under a different company, and I exited the company in 2013. And then there was an opportunity to regain a position on the exploration licenses. So I jumped at the opportunity. I'm a big believer in Sydney. Sydney has a great future, great people, great industry. And, you know, there's a lot of green industrial plans here for the future of the province, the country, and Sydney. It's a port on the ocean. You know, the logistics make sense. It has a hydro line that runs here. It's, you know, from a exploration point of view, this is probably one of the last copper projects that can be low impact, environmentally friendly as possible, explored to determine the economic viability, and then go back to the community again to seek approval for mining, you know, this is years from now. We're still in the development phase, only under exploration. We're not allowed to do any mining. And, you know, for us, this is probably one of the last ones in Canada. And what's important about Canada is that we have all these green initiatives to do climate change, and we have the raw materials. You know, it's one of the highest per capita raw material on the planet, and yet you know, we import from other countries and expect other countries to supply us with our raw materials in order to have our green initiative.
Okay, you lost me for a minute. Yeah. I don't understand how we got from copper to green initiatives. Explain that for me.
Copper is deemed the most critical metal for the green transition. Okay, now there's other metals such as copper also that are in the top five for electric vehicles. For example, an ICE, which is an internal combustion engine, has an average of 48 pounds of copper in it. An EV, electric vehicle, has up to 190 pounds or 90 kilos of copper in it. So, you know, when we look at developing copper, this is where our confidence is. You know, we're in an industrial area that has 4 environmental permits right now, 2 heavy quarries and a hydro line. And the hydro line is also key to this development. You know, we're able to consider and plan towards a net zero copper operation to provide the materials required for the energy transition. It doesn't get any sweeter than this. And when I say one of the last great deposits in Canada that can be done like this, if we don't do it here in our backyard, then we do have to go and displace the wilderness. We do have to cut down 200 miles of trees. We do have to cut down 200 miles of trees for road. We do need to fly people in and out constantly over the 10 years of development. And we have to bring power there. And sometimes they all don't get on the same road. If the power plant's west of you and the port's to the right of you, then you're clearing 400 miles of road and trees. in order to get to what we have here at our doorstep.
Okay. Now, this was a mine at one point, and for whatever reason, was no longer a mine after that. Is that because the copper is hard to get to, or why? Tell me about actually getting to those deposits.
Certainly. So the old mine is actually an underground mine, okay? And what we're planning to do there at some stage when we apply for a mining license is to surface mine it. Instead of sending men back underground, it's shallow, so we can surface mine that. And we can basically decontaminate that, treat it. And nowadays, in modern mining, the water that goes into the plant comes out the other side cleaner. And for us, I have always pledged to every stakeholder in Sydney, right, that I would never build a tailings pond. And we are not going to build it. Under my watch, under my anything to do where I'm involved in the company, no, there will never be a tailings pond in Beachmont. So we're looking at doing modern mining methods, such as they're doing in Peru. You can't, you know, copper mines aren't allowed to build tailings ponds anymore. And for me, listening to the community, which I have been in this community since 2006, we're not hiding. We just don't have any complaints. Everybody that we talk to is appreciative of us being there. The opportunity that we could put three generations back at the Christmas table here in Cape Breton is, you know, a commanding position from the community. We do have community support. Everybody I talk to wants this development. The government supports it. The municipality supports it. And the people that we've been talking to since 2006 support it. And there's a new company that's decided to go to the media first instead of contacting us. We had never seen one phone call, one email. Nobody we know was contacted by them. And yeah, we would have talked to them. And I said, anybody with a Cape Breton phone number, we'll take your call so that we can explain. I would be terrified too. You know, if I thought there was going to be a 30 square kilometer mine above my house with a tailings pond, I know a lot about mining and I'd be scared a lot. And there, so I think there's a lot of information tactics going on here.
Okay.
And so when you look at the claims map, I mean, so our footprint will be very small. And that's a claims map of areas of interest. There's not going to be ever a 30-kilometer mine.
Okay. I mean, it just... So let's talk.
I wish it was that much, Muriel.
Let's talk about the tailings to start with, because you know, this is Cape Breton, and we have had experience with industrial waste. So tell me how this works, that it doesn't create a tailings pond or toxins that leach.
Well, okay, the final, you know, processes haven't been chosen. So so what I'm trying to say is not avoid the question. There's a number of ways of doing this. So one of the things that we're looking at is a technology that it's a blister technology, which would make three different items. And so for us, the all three would have to be, the other two besides the copper would have to be inert. So there'd be an off gas, a slag. So we'd have bricks and also copper bricks. And then, you know, there'd be some off gas that would have to be zero inert, non-toxic. And that's the technologies that we're looking at now for that. The other thing that we're looking at from conventional mining or conventional milling, right, is because a lot of people think, you know, the mine is, so there's also a mill. The mine is where you take the rock out. The mill is where you process it. And exiting the mill, where, you know, there's a separation of the economic minerals from the, you know, what could be called waste rock, simply, right, is, you know, there's moisture levels, and then there would be dry stacking. So there's a well-known process now called dry stacking, where, you know, what you're doing is you're not having a pond that can eventually or has the potential, like when an earthquake or something, to migrate. Dry stacking is solid.
Okay, so then the other question.
There's no dam.
There's no dam. There's and so there is sometimes, or there used to be with mining, and those of people who have been in mining in Cape Breton, there is that arsenic piece as well. All of those chemicals, and I'm sure there's a long list. How are they managed, and how are they contained?
Okay, well, quite simply, I mean, there's old mines and there's new mines. And that's something that we've all learned, like putting seatbelts in cars, that, you know, certain things have to advance. And that there's certainly been an enormity of advancements when it comes to the handling and treatment of these materials. But one thing I will say about the Beachmont copper, we've done a lot of tests, and we're able to extract the entire sulfide down to 0.0024. We've been able to prove that in testing. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, people in Halifax have more arsenic in their backyard than will be in our tail. Not tailings pond, but it's also still called what comes out of the back of the mill, a tail, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying I'm not going to create that tail into a tailings pond, right? I still have a tail, right? That tail, we have extensive analysis on it, and it's also extremely low in mercury. And that probably has something to do with the age. You know, we have some research on that. It's not, we're still in the development stage, still in the exploration stage. But we have done research for an exploration company at our stage. We have actually done quite a bit of metallurgical analysis. And because for me, it's always been what's in the rest of the rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mostly from a commercial operating expenses point of view, right? So, for example, if you have less material, well, we even call them the nasties, you know. You have non-economic material, which I call the nasties also, they need to be dealt with. In our operation, we're seeing that these are at very low levels, right out of the rock, let alone any processing required. So we'll be doing a lot of research on that, and that research will be available. We'll be giving it to the government. And we'll also be more absolutely open book on all of our research. And we will do all of the research that we hear people want now when we know what is really going to look like there as far as what processing are we actually going to propose to the government. What processing are we actually going to propose to the community to seek approval?
Well, Harry, you know, I really appreciate you taking our call today and explaining all of this to us. And I understand that the proposal that was to appear before City Council is on pause right now. Had you heard that?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Okay. What is your response?
I think it gives us an opportunity to engage the community. You know, I mean, we do reach out to the stakeholders of Sydney. But, you know, like I say, this one was just formed in the last week or two and didn't reach out to us. So we would love to engage with this association or organization. And we look forward to the opportunity of knowing how to get a hold of them or for them to contact us. We will certainly take the call. We'll take the meetings. We'll inform to the fullest extent of our ability. And we look forward to those opportunities whenever they arise. For us, on today's vote, as you asked, or today's agenda, we look forward to just progressing forward. And, you know, this was we've been leasing the land since 2006, on and off, with a five-year break between 2013 to 2018. And, you know, so we are good custodians of the land. We've always done what's needed. We built bridges over creeks. You know, those 175 drill holes, even we have a hard time finding them. We've remediated every drill site. They look like college lots. Now they look like just, we've completely rewilded them.
Well, Mr. Cabrita, I really thank you. I really thank you taking our call today. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. You're welcome. Cheers.
And that's Harry Cabrita, who is the CEO of Nova Copper Inc., and he was on the line from Sydney today.